from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually to meet workforce demands and grow West Virginia's economy. Learn more at wvhepc.edu. The W. Page Pitt School of Journalism and Mass Communications at Marshall University, providing hands-on education in advertising, public relations, and journalism across all media platforms.
At the legislature today, the governor releases an alternative plan to balance the 2018 budget, one legislative leaders seem more open to considering. In the Senate, a bill to clarify the state's right to work law gets a passing vote, and in the House, delegates consider changes to laws that govern higher education staffing policies. And the newly elected Commissioner of Agriculture joins us to discuss his top priorities this legislative session. Those stories and more coming up on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Ashton Mara. Governor Jim Justice is presenting an alternative budget plan to lawmakers, one that relies on smaller revenue increases to balance the 2018 budget. He announced the changes to his proposal during a press conference with reporters this afternoon, calling the spending plan the most important thing lawmakers will consider this session.
Without any question, the most important thing we can do in the state of West Virginia today as legislators, in my office, all of us, the most important thing we can do is come up with a budget and come up with a pathway of growth. Now, we're 20 days into this situation. I've come up with a plan. I've surely heard back some criticism to the plan, but I've not heard back alternatives to what we can do. We're approaching the halfway mark, and it is pitiful, pitiful for us to get to the point in time where we would have to have maybe a special session. Why? Why? We work on so many different things, and not to take anything away from what we're working on, but the most important thing is just this, and we got to get to it. We've got to get to rock solid solutions and put the people of West Virginia on a pathway to where they can get, we can get out of this mess. Now,
Justice's alternative proposal includes changes to both of the revenue enhancing measures he previewed for lawmakers during his State of the State address, one to raise taxes to fill a budget gap, the other to fund a bond for road construction. Justice now says if lawmakers can find $50 million in government cuts, they could actually have a budget surplus if they would also increase the tax on sugary drinks by 1 cent, add 50 cents to the cigarette tax, create that commercial activities tax at 0.75%, increase the sales tax by 0.25%, and smooth out the state's teachers' pension payments, or pay only a portion of the debts this year and spread the rest out over the next 4 years. Justice has also reassessed his plans that he says will create $48,000 jobs through a road bond. The new proposal would create bond revenue through a 4.5 cent increase on the gasoline tax, raising Department of Motor Vehicle licensing fees by $20 and raising the tolls on the turnpike by $2. Those increases are offset by proposals to extend the period of time between vehicle inspections and offer annual payments on easy passes. Justice maintains, however, that the jobs created by the bond would allow lawmakers to get rid of the other tax increases within just a few years. That's because more people would be paying the payroll tax, he says. Justice's proposal will be sent to lawmakers tomorrow, but House Speaker Tim Armstead and Senate President Mitch Carmichael put out a joint statement today saying, We're glad the governor has heard the concerns of our constituents with his initial proposals and are heartened to know he is open to some alternatives. Some of the ideas he brought up today are suggestions we brought to the table during our meetings with the administration. We also agree that additional cuts of $50 million or more are needed, and we are carefully evaluating options for significant cuts. Senators approved a bill to clarify West Virginia's right to work law that was passed by the legislature last year. The law has yet to take effect because it's been tied up in a court case in Kanawha County, which Jesse Wright reports was the focus of discussion in the state's upper chamber today.
Senate Bill 330 clarifies portions of the West Virginia Workplace Freedom Act. The act itself was approved by lawmakers during the 2016 legislative session and is more commonly known as right to work law. After the original bill was approved last year, unions in the state filed a lawsuit challenging it. Last week, a Kanawha County Circuit Court judge ruled against the state on two issues brought in that case. The first is that the bill is unconstitutional because it forces unions to represent workers who don't pay union dues in contract negotiations, negotiations that cost the union money. The second is that there are parts of the law that are too vague to be enforced. Senate Judiciary Chair Charles Trump explained that Senate Bill 330 does not affect the constitutionality question, but removes language the judge ruled as unclear. That language attempted to address concerns about collective bargaining, protecting the ability to negotiate under the law.
So the main purpose of this bill, Senate Bill 330, is to eliminate from the Act, the West Virginia Workplace Freedom Act, the portions thereof that the court found to be ambiguous.
Senators approved the bill on a party-line vote, but members on both sides of the aisle returned to the discussion over the constitutionality of the right-to-work law after the vote. The court order says forcing unions to represent workers in contract negotiations who do not pay the dues would essentially be taking the property of the union. But Senator Trump maintains saying a union must represent all of the workers in a workplace is false. Unions can choose to negotiate contracts only for the union members.
So, you know, if you create the legal fiction that a union has to represent everybody, then yeah, it flows from that. That you allow people to receive the benefit of that without paying dues could amount to a taking. But it's a legal fiction. The law allows members-only negotiations and contracts.
Democrats like Senator Mike Romano of Harrison County disagreed. Romano says he's more concerned about the legal precedent the vote on Senate Bill 330 sets.
My concern that I want to make everybody aware of is I think it's a bad precedent for us to be able to be changing laws in order to address court cases. It disrupts the court system, it disrupts the constitutional separation of powers amongst the three branches. Because what we do is we go in and change the playing field after the courts have spent enormous amounts of time and resources in order to come to an answer.
Senate Bill 330 goes to the House of Delegates for further consideration. The lawsuit over the state's right-to-work law has prevented it from taking effect, but it's likely the case will make its way to the West Virginia Supreme Court. For the legislature today, I'm Jesse Wright.
The Senate Select Committee on Tax Reform is making changes to a bill that would overhaul the state's tax structure. The goal of the legislation is to repeal West Virginia's personal income tax, which provides the state with nearly $2 billion in revenue each year. Members of the Select Committee were presented with a committee substitute for Senate Bill 335 today that makes some minor changes to the proposal and adds in some additional exemptions and clarifications. Overall, the bill still would repeal the state's 6% consumer sales tax and replace it with an 8% general consumption tax, what's essentially a sales tax on almost all goods and services. That includes reinstating the food tax, or the taxes you pay on groceries, and also adding taxes to professional and personal services like lawyers' fees or haircuts and gym memberships. The increase in the consumption tax and its expansion under the bill is all part of the process of repealing the state's personal income tax. Sponsors of the bill have said they want Senate Bill 335 to be a revenue-neutral measure, meaning it won't make any new money for the state or lose any revenue, but shift the income sources. A fiscal note detailing how much revenue would be created through each change has not been provided to the committee yet, though, and a revenue-neutral bill would do nothing to address the estimated $497 million budget gap in the 2018 fiscal year. Former tax commissioner under Governor Arch Moore, Mike Carl, has been hired as a consultant by the committee to work on the bill. He explained Monday that the latest version of Senate Bill 335 adds some clarifications for municipalities after concerns were raised by the city of Parkersburg. Some cities, like Parkersburg, have implemented an additional sales tax under home rule legislation to get rid of their B&O taxes. Others implemented sales taxes to help pay off unfunded workers' pension debts. Both of those types of municipal sales taxes, according to Carl, would remain intact under the current version of the bill. Carl explained Monday Senate Bill 335 still includes 31 areas of exemptions. They include exceptions for churches and nonprofits, wholesalers, and tuition charged at colleges and universities, just like under the current sales tax, Carl explained.
At least my contribution to the writing of this bill is driven by my philosophy that we want to change as little as we have to still achieve our policy purposes, as I understood them. And so there's the administrative procedures that we have under sales tax and compliance procedures have been lifted and out of that and put into this general consumption tax.
In the process of repealing the personal income tax, the bill also would phase out the corporate net income tax, or the tax placed on business profits, and decrease the severance tax on both coal and natural gas from its current 5% to 2.5% over several years. The House's Judiciary Committee held a public hearing on the chamber floor this morning on House Bill 2506. The bill changes the state's stream discharge limits, bringing them in line with the less stringent standards of the Federal Environmental Protection Agency. Judiciary Chairman John Schott says the bill does not address water quality standards when it comes to drinking water, but those opposed to House Bill 2506 beg to differ. Here's a portion of this morning's testimony.
Don't tell me this is about the health of West Virginians. For heaven's sakes, look around. We're 50th in health. Look around at the OxyContin problem we have. You know what that stems from? A lack of a job. You give those people jobs, and that's how you're going to make West Virginians healthy. So in summary, if you want to help our health of our citizenry, give me the opportunity to attract industry and not shoo them away.
I know times are tough and we have to increase revenues, but weakening water quality standards, even if the law doesn't actually weaken the standards per se, the perception of weakened quality standards is no way to attract young families to come to this state to rebuild our tax base.
Manufacturers are innovators. We know that a healthy environment means healthy business. We make safety a priority, and we create jobs, and we do give back to our communities. We make products used every day by every single person in this room. The opposition to this change is unnecessarily divisive, particularly after many opposing groups have long encouraged compliance with standards set by the Obama EPA. It is difficult not to conclude that it isn't scientific integrity that drives opposition to this bill, but instead a knee-jerk rejection to anything that's supported by industry.
Tourism is an industry. The Green Bar River is a place people, not only locals, but people from all over the world come to enjoy its beauty. They fish, boat, and play. The Greenbrier River Trail accompanies the river for 73 miles and provides over $4 million of economic impact for our area.
We are suffering. We are restricting development in this state. We are wasting dollars chasing an environmental apparition that is not a problem. If you bring our regulations to rationality, you can use your resources more appropriately to address the issues that are truly impacting the environment in the state of West Virginia.
Why are we keep going down this road? Yeah, we all want jobs.
What kind of jobs? Where are we leading ourselves? And we haven't heard one example of how this bill will create a job. So it's time, you know, to work together to reinvent West Virginia as a place where businesses want to invest here because we have clean water, that we're proud of that, that we're no longer perceived as a toxic waste dump, but a great place to live, and that we share a pride in our care and value for one of the world's most valuable resources, which is water.
House Bill 2506 was on first reading in the chamber today. Delegate Mike Pushkin, a Democrat from Kanawha County, attempted to bring the bill directly to a vote, but his motion was rejected, and the bill will be on second reading tomorrow. When it comes to education, members of the House are looking for ways to give both public schools and higher education institutions more flexibility this session. A bill to do just that caused some debate in the chamber today, though, as Liz McCormick reports.
House Bill 2542 is a large bill, 33 pages in fact, with several provisions. But its main intent is to give the state's higher education institutions more flexibility in hiring and salary rates. The bill would allow West Virginia and Marshall universities to decide their own salary schedules or pay scales by consulting with their Board of Governors and with their employees, rather than it being decided for them from Charleston through the Higher Education Policy Commission. For all other colleges and universities in the state, changes would have to be approved by the HEPC. Sponsors of the bill say the state's higher education system has faced major budget cuts in recent years, and the changes allow them to be more flexible with the money they have. Republican Delegate Joe Statler is the lead sponsor of the bill.
As we continue to cut their budgets, and this is what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen, is about the money it takes to run these institutions. If we don't want to fully fund these institutions, then we got to give them some flexibility in order to do what they need to do.
One area of the bill did spark debate between members of the House today, though. Higher education institutions are currently required by law to have a recall list for individuals who are laid off. Basically, if that person's position becomes available again, the laid-off employee would be the first offered the position. The bill takes that requirement out and leaves it up to the institution to decide. A number of Democrats attempted to amend the protections back into the bill, including Delegate Barbara Evans Fleshour of Monongalia County.
People have counted on this. People who have devoted their lives have assumed that if bad times would arise, that they would have an opportunity to get back on the job, and that would be something that was in the code. This is something that public higher education employees fought for. It's been in there for years, and now, when layoffs might occur, we're yanking the rug out from under them.
Majority Leader Darrell Coles of Morgan County opposed the amendment.
That doesn't mean anyone's going to be mistreated or HR policies won't be sound HR policies. Local control and local flexibility is just that. We have to give up some protections maybe that we take care of here and let the local entities, fair institutions, good local government, do the things they need to do to serve and carry out their missions.
Democratic Delegate Rick Moy of Raleigh County stood in support of the amendment, saying it's a common courtesy to keep a recall list in law.
The institutions would just have to call the folks up, say, hey, do you want your job back? And that is a very, very small thing to ask for folks that have dedicated their life to an institution.
The amendment failed, but Democratic lawmakers attempted another change to the bill. It would allow laid-off employees to have the option to take another position at the school. However, House Education Chair Delegate Paul Espinosa argued these sorts of decisions should be made by the institutions and not mandated from Charleston.
There is nothing in this legislation that precludes the institution from considering seniority, longevity, other appropriate factors. But this legislation simply provides our higher education leadership with the ability to make that call, to look at what is the right mix of staffing to meet their needs, which of course may change over time.
The amendment also failed. House Bill 2542 will be up for a final vote in the House tomorrow. For the legislature today, I'm Liz McCormick in the House.
The state's Board of Public Works is made up of the offices defined by the state's constitution. This week, we'll meet the newly elected members of that board, including our guest tonight. Kent Leonhardt is West Virginia's Agriculture Commissioner, elected in November. Before his election, he was a member of the state Senate. Commissioner, thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with a bill that's going to be taken up in the House Agriculture Committee tomorrow. This bill expands the hemp program in West Virginia. Right now, industrial hemp can only be grown by people who are approved in a program through WVU, and this opens that up to more people. What would you like the hemp program in the state to look like?
Well, I think we need to move forward with the industrial hemp program. We need to make sure that we have the growers in place so that we can get the manufacturing, the industries in to create jobs for our citizens. It's a little bit of cart and chicken and the egg and cart before the horse. You have to get the growers to grow it, but then you also have to have the manufacturers come in. So there's going to be a little bit of a challenge there, but I believe we can work our way through this. And the bill has some elements that will help that.
And the manufacturers you're talking about, what kinds of things do people make with hemp?
All sorts of things. They make purses with it. They tell me that the body armor you can make out of hemp is stronger than Kevlar. There's thousands of products out there that people talk about using.
And there are some other states that have these programs in place already, correct?
Correct. I mean, we're all governed by federal law, obviously, and they're all in the infancy stages. Other states have been doing a little bit more than we have. I think this is just going to bring us up to where everyone else is. We want those manufacturers to come to West Virginia first.
There's another bill that's making its way through the State House that you're in support of, one that would move the Division of Forestry over into the Agriculture Department. What's that connection there? Why would you like to see that happen?
Well, originally, the Division of Forestry was under the Department of Agriculture, and it got moved a number of years ago. Forestry is really a crop. Trees are a crop. It just takes a little bit longer to grow a tree than it does an ear of corn. When you look at what's happening with our state's resources, we're one of the most forested states in the nation. We're number three, and we're number two in hardwoods per square mile. We're growing trees at a rate of 2.5 times the rate of harvest, which means we could harvest double our forestry industry in the state and not lose our natural beauty.
And then there's the Veterans to Agriculture program. We had James McCormick, who heads this program in your department, on the show earlier this month. But you're proposing an increase from $7,500, a line item to support that program, to $250,000. Tell me about why that program is important to you and what it could do with those funds.
Well, the program is very near and dear to my heart, obviously, being a retired military person. But we also know that we lose a lot of our veterans. When they go off to serve our nation, they don't come back to the state of West Virginia. The Veterans Agriculture Program is designed to create jobs in agriculture that welcomes our veterans home to the state of West Virginia. We know that and the governor's even talked about it, we know that agriculture can help be part of the solution to our budgetary problems, and we want to welcome our veterans home and help be part of that.
Right now, this program is really dependent on volunteer resources, correct?
A lot of it is, yes. And even James McCormick, who's done a lot of great work, has driven many, many miles in his own vehicle at his own expense. We need to make sure that we're properly funding this program. And the small return, the small investment that I'm asking, can really make huge returns.
One more bill to ask you about, and that's the Fresh Food Act. House Agriculture Committee is also going to take that up tomorrow. What would that do?
Well, that's helping create a new market for fresh foods in the state of West Virginia. We obviously are importing more than we're growing. We have to do some work on the aggregation center level to make sure that we can fulfill the requirement within this bill. So again, we have to work hand in hand and make sure that we don't get out too out in front of the requirements from the legislature as we're trying to meet the needs. But I believe that we're on the right track. We're working with several groups on developing these aggregation centers, privately held, not government run, and that the private industry creating jobs, and then we can fulfill the requirement that's being proposed in the legislature.
Agriculture Commissioner Kent Leonhardt, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tomorrow on our show, we're joined by another brand new member of the State Board of Public Works. Secretary of State Mac Warner joins us to discuss his goals in office and legislation that will impact his work both with the voters and businesses in West Virginia. That's tomorrow on the broadcast. For now, this has been the Legislature Today. I'm Ashton Mara. Thanks for joining us.
Support for the Legislature Today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually to meet workforce demands and grow West Virginia's economy. Learn more at wvhepc.edu. The W. Page Pitt School of Journalism and Mass Communications at Marshall University, providing hands-on education in advertising, public relations, and journalism across all media platforms. From West Virginia Public Broadcasting.